Lord, you responded in turn with ministering to us, and it's been just a mutual pleasure to commune with you already this morning. But now, Lord, I confer and ask that you would just anoint our speaker this morning, who I'm going to introduce in just a moment. I pray that, Father, as he hears from heaven, heaven's voice would ring true in our ears here today. I pray, Lord, that all those who have come today to receive love and a message from you would indeed embrace the following moments of the time that we have together. Lord, may your Holy Spirit take over and anoint this place right now in Jesus' name. The man that is about to speak to you today has made a profession out of being able to convince people of the truth so that they could receive their reward. He's a lawyer, okay? He told me that yesterday. He said, what are you? He said, Scott, what are you? I had to think about it. He said, I'm a lawyer. At the end of the day, I'm a lawyer. But then I started thinking about that, and I thought about his character and his integrity. And because he mixes this character and integrity within the scope of his practice, the Lord has blessed him as a successful trial lawyer. But it's more than that. He models our mediator in heaven, our great lawyer in heaven, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was also, therefore, given a pastoral ministry that also helps those who may not know their way as well as those who even do know their way, but they get sidetracked. He's been used to minister to the poor, to the destitute, to the down, the out, the up, and the coming. Many different ways. He's filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom and has raised up 6 natural children. And I can't even tell you how many, probably countless spiritual children that you've fostered and brought up as well. He serves the Lord with all of his heart and has a tremendous impact on the world. His wife, Debbie, as Ed would say, is his rib. That part, and again, think about it, that part which is vital in protecting his heart and in encouraging his spirit. Together as a team, they minister in an explosive way when they need to, and then in a more gentle way when it's required. I'm always captivated by their lifestyle and their testimony, and you won't find any greater givers as well as friends. My wife and I have loved them and their family since we've known them, and again, very much. And I am honored, again, to yield the pulpit today to a man after God's own heart and an awesome storyteller and preacher. I introduce to you today Edward Jordan, my brother-in-law and my friend.
I was going to let you keep going. I have my own microphone. Hello, check, check. Hi, everybody. Man, this is a tough crowd this morning. Yeah. Well, first of all,
I'm good.
You're laughing at me for back there. Okay, good morning. I might just have to get my look stretchers. Okay, so good morning. Watch this.
Hold on, relax.
Okay. So, Father, we thank you this morning. And we give you all glory and honor and praise. That whatever you're going to do, you're going to do. However you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And we would remain humbled. Lord God, that if you have decided to allow me to speak into someone's heart, Lord God, let me speak unblemished. Let me speak the truth and let me speak clear. And let your vivid love pass through my lips to their ears. Lord God, I honor you for the pulpit that you've given this place, this New Testament place. I thank you that you have set a seed here in Lander. thank you that you have anointed the pastor and his wife. You've anointed the elders. You've anointed the congregation to be different, to set a standard that is beyond question. Lord, that you have given us this campus, that you have given us this place, you have given us the resources. And those that are here today, you've given us them, that we could all have fellowship one another, and we'd walk out changed, and we wouldn't be wasting our time, and that when we leave this place, we would have a divine appointment, that we would take the words, the ministry, the praise that we have received today, the help that we have received today, and that we would share it, that we would not be a sponge, but instead, Lord God, we would be a magnet. And in your holy righteous name, Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we come today in thanksgiving and honor. Amen? Amen. So before we go, my spare rib, please stand up in her beautiful blue dress. Go ahead. This is my wife, Debbie. We have been married for 36 years and 3 more days. We have had the pleasure of rearing 6 wonderful children, all who have born again, fire-breathing, Holy Spirit-filled, and following after the Lord. And seated next to her is my wonderful daughter, Jessica Julia Jordan. And her wonderful husband, Rufus Duwanu. So if you do want to meet them, just there they are. I could tell you stories about all my wonderful kids. And I don't know why it is, how it is, that God has given me 6 untroubled children that are chasing, following the word of God because I am a heathen. My story one day, if you ever hear it, you'll be amazed how it is that I could ever be standing in front of you, because if you really know who I was and you decided to look into my closet, you would say, oh my goodness, why are you standing here? It is but for the grace of God. Amen? Okay, I mean, that's just it. So I put my pants on one leg at a time, as do you. But I am here to tell you, unfortunately, that I think I'm God's favorite. And I think now that I know, I thought I was God's favorite until a couple days ago, and then I realized someone else might be God's favorite. But here's why I'm God's favorite, okay? So I went to see my daughter up in Montana. Why she's there, no one really knows, but she's in Montana. And her husband is in Montana, and that's a story that I will spare you of, but they're in Montana. And so we have to fly from Orlando to Denver, and from Denver to Missoula, Montana. So when I get on my plane, there's a rule that I have when I fly, and probably most of you fellows that are a little bit tall, we like the aisle seat or the room seat, and so, you know, the one with the extra space. And so I get on the plane, and I'm in the middle seat. And I'm wondering how I got on this middle seat. I said, okay, happy day. And I have headphones, Bluetooth. You guys have Bluetooth? And I was listening to my praise and worship, and I was like, okay, I'm good. And then I got from Denver. That was a 4-hour flight from Denver to Missoula. Is 2 hours? And I was in the middle seat again. I go, man, how did I get on this middle seat? That's okay. I'll just listen to my music, God Bless America. So I was in the middle seat. I'm thinking, okay. So then when I leave a couple days later, I leave from Missoula to Denver, and I'm in the middle seat again. I'm going, how do I get in this middle seat? I can't stand the middle seat. There's no room in this middle seat. I'm always squished. I can't stand it. Got to go to the bathroom. Got to get up, blah, 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 blah. All right, so I'm in the middle seat. Then I get from Denver to Orlando, and I'm in the middle seat again. I go, why am I in the middle seat? I text him. I said, from now on, when you get flights for me, please make sure that I'm on the aisle seat. And she writes back, I didn't do this. United did. I don't know how they did. I said, well, you know, from now on, it's okay. Can't change the world. But from now on, I need the aisle seat. So, but I was in group 2. That means that I got on the plane before group 3 through 5. So I'm on the middle seat. And when I get in there, there's Goliath. And he's not fat. There are fat people, but this person wasn't fat. This person was big. He was, like, strong. And he was, like, he decided to take those 2 armrests. And so, yeah, and he was big. He'd beat me up. I know he'd beat me up. I'm thinking to myself, okay, all right. So he had his armrest there. So I kind of put my armrest kind of, like, you know, just there. And he'd go, oh. And so I kind of, like, move it up, and he'd go up. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to be fun. So little Ed Jordan just became, you know, okay, I got my little seat, and I put my arm on the other armrest. And then Fred Flintstone came over, and he sits next to me, and he was okay, but you know what I'm saying, then you got to share that armrest. I'm like this, and thinking, this is not going to be a good flight. I just could see this not being good. And by the way, the battery to my air headphones went out, so I didn't even have praise and worship. So I'm like stuck in the muck. And so I look over, and the aisle next to me is completely empty, right? Three seats. It's a packed flight. Everybody wants to go to Orlando, and it's a packed flight. And the three seats next to me are wide open. I'm thinking, okay. And then group three comes in, and And group four comes in, and it's still open. I'm thinking, if no one takes those seats, that I'm going to get the aisle seat. And so group four comes in, I'm going, And I said to Fred, I said, listen, man, I'm going to get up and go to that aisle seat. If I get kicked out, I'll come back. There's no problem. So I get over in the aisle seat. And then they shut the cabin door, and the plane begins to move, and I have the entire row to myself. I am like, God, you just care about the littlest things. You are good to me, right? Happy day. And then Ralph in front, he turns around and goes, hey, man, do you mind if I get up and get? I said, hey, have at it. Just don't sit in the middle seat. I'm good. So I'm thinking, how much does God love me to take me out of the middle seat? Because I can't stand. I didn't complain. I mean, I did complain, but I didn't verbalize the complaint. I'm just saying, because if I did, I think he would have beat me up. So that was not going to work. So I'm God's favorite, right? You would agree. Everybody would agree, right? Thank you. So I get a call from Debbie yesterday. Wait. Friday night? Honey, guess what? Because we rerouted our plane so that she could meet me here. And so, guess what? I said, what? They bumped me up to first class. I'm thinking, wait a second. Who's God's favorite here? I get the aisle seat and you get first class. What's up with that? She was rejoicing, and I just say that because I'm a believer that God cares about the littlest, tiniest things that you care about. My brother-in-law, who's going bald, I think he probably is bald by now. I haven't seen him for a while, but he's going bald. He said, God cares. I used to make fun of him losing his hair, and he would say that God cares about things that I care. So if I wanted to be like Eric and not have any hair, then I wouldn't have any hair. But if I do want hair, then God would grow hair on my head because God cares about the things that concerneth me. Amen? So I'm convinced that God is so consumed by you that he is enamored by your presence, that you would confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. Man, he's just ready. Amen? He's just ready to just take the littlest things. I was going to go somewhere, but I'm not. But here's where I'm going to go. So in preparation for Sunday, I really worked on this message, and it's called Held Hostage for a Ransom. And I want you to know that I was prepared. You see that? Happy day. It was those who think that, some messages need to be, like, really smart and rightfully dividing the word. I had some scriptures here. I know it, Old Testament, New Testament, and the message was finalized last night. I was at Scott's house, or yesterday morning, because I was at the creek yesterday morning. Is that it? Okay. So this morning I decided to just go down to the creek. If you've been to Pastor's house, he's got a little creek there, and he's got a chair there, and I turned on some praise music, and I'm getting ready. And so then the Lord decided to give me this. Okay? So I don't know what we're going to do with this morning. Okay? But the title of this is, what are we going to do with this? And so I don't know what we're going to do with this morning. But I do know one thing, that I think that somebody may actually enjoy what we're about to talk about. And if not, then it was a good try. Amen? 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 But as I was worshiping this morning, I knew the Holy Spirit decided to bless us. And when the Holy Spirit comes down, I don't know what you're going to do with this. And any of those of you who have participated in one of Rodney Howard Brown's things where laughter started coming, I almost started getting there. I was almost there, and the Lord decided to quench it a little bit, because when I start laughing, my wife knows I cannot stop laughing. In fact, I know that I may start laughing sometime during this message, and then you'll really know how foolish that I am. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is so enamored with this congregation that he would decide to change my preparation mode, my structured being. I do this for a living, and so this is what I do, and this is how I prepare. And then when I'm prepared, I finalize and I perfect, and my art of persuasion wins over the jury. Would you agree? Yes. So that's what you were going to get this morning, and God said, no, we're not going to go there. We're gonna talk one-on-one. So the title of this message that I have not yet decided how to preach, you notice I'm now stalling, is what are you going to do with this? And really, it is, what are you going to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with this? So if you would just turn your wonderful, and I don't know if you have this. This is not a Bible. This is a phone with an application that has the Bible on it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Bible. It's got pages in it. It's bound. It's written word. And what you could do is you could buy it at a bookstore or at a Christian bookstore, or you can even buy it online. And you can have a Bible that you can write in and you can make notes on, and it can be your Bible. This can be your phone, and this can be your Bible. Bible, phone, glasses, microphone, Bible. God bless America. All right, so I hope that you have your Bible, and if now you've been insulted and you only have a phone with a Bible application, get a Bible. Get a Bible. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, that you have given us written words that enlighten our hearts and that teach us and instruct us and reveal your love towards us. Lord God Almighty, we praise you for your wonderful word. Amen. God bless America. If you please turn to John. And what to start it out with is that it's amazing, because you can just know that God is in this place in a mighty way. I just was studying for the last 3 days, John 3:16-18. And we know what it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him shall have everlasting life. And then we go on to 17 and 18. Make sure I get it right. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. So I was studying this word just because every once in a while, don't you like to go back to basics? I mean, every once in a while, I like to have cereal. Now, you go to Terry's house, you're going to get organic eggs and organic mushrooms and onions and an omelet. But I like cereal every once in a while, and I decided to get cereal. And when I got some cereal, I just started realizing, you know, sometimes we make the gospel difficult. And it is not difficult, because if it was hard to understand, I wouldn't be standing here, because I'm not the brightest bulb in this room. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the gospel is clear and easy to understand. Amen? Would you agree with that? Happy day. And you can say happy day, amen, as many times as you want today, because you're not going to interrupt me, because I don't know where I'm going. Okay? So you're okay. You're absolutely okay to interrupt me. You might even help out. Okay. Happy day? All right. So the title of this undetermined message is, what are you going to do with this? And the first thing is, I come across in John, happy day, I come across John chapter 1. And that would be, let's go with, we'll start at just 28, and I'm just going to do 29. We know what happens. John chapter 1. 28 and 29. We know the story, but it is this. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, John saw, seeth, whatever words you've got, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. John was so taken by the mere presence of Jesus Christ, that he acknowledged without speaking to him that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now, my daughter Gloria, at 12 years old, was reading a book, and it was about the triangle in Africa, the unministered to triangle in Africa. And it was the most boringest book I've ever laid eyes on. In fact, I tried to read one page, and I said, somehow my daughter Gloria decided to read the whole book. And it was after reading that book, she said, Dad, at 12 years old, I'm called to be a doctor, and I want to go to Africa, and I want to minister to Africans. And she is now in her second year of residency. She's got her doctorate degree, medical degree. She's got her bachelor's degree in biomedical chemistry. And she is a gynecologist, surgical gynecologist. And she intends to carry out the word. She had one simple encounter with Jesus Christ that changed her life. Enter John, the man that only needed to see Jesus and acknowledged him as the Lord God Almighty, the only begotten Son. Happy day? Many of you have had an encounter with Christ Jesus that all you had to do was see. And those tend to be the wacky ones, the ones that are kind of gone. And then you kind of think, like, will they ever come down to earth? And I'm here to tell you that I think John never did. I trust that you will never lose that. Amen? Enter second person. By the way, I think I've identified five of us. And that would be John chapter 3. Make sure I get this right. Don't you love it when I don't know where? This is good news. I am so excited about this word. I want to praise Jesus for that. I'm sitting there enjoying time in the morning, and he decided to just change things up. That's good news. Isn't it good? That's good news. So just go to John chapter 3, and you know this story, many of you. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. Then came Jesus by night, and we know the rest of the story. Jesus said, you got to be born again. How can I be born again? Do I enter into my mother's womb? No. You need to be born of the Spirit, right? You know that story. Now, if you follow your red letters, when he really finished in verse 21. Am I right? Those of you that have a Bible? And there's no real indication in this encounter with Jesus Christ that Nicodemus made a confession that you're the only begotten Son of God. At least I don't see it in my Bible. Now, I know later on there's some discussions that he probably did, he may have, but that's irrelevant. Because Nicodemus was walking. Do you think Jesus knew where Nicodemus was? That Jesus didn't just happen to stumble on Nicodemus. It said Jesus, I think my word is right, came. Then the same came to Jesus by night, and he said, Rabbi. So Jesus is out walking on the same street that Nicodemus is walking, and they just happen to have this encounter. I call that a divine appointment. And in that divine appointment, Jesus revealed the truth. And Nicodemus, I think, at least my reading is, didn't make a confession of faith. He asked the question in verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said, and then gave him, right? He balked. Some of you have balked. That you've had an encounter with Christ Jesus, you've had a divine appointment, he's revealed himself to you, but you said, you know what? let me get myself straight. Let me fix some things. Let me analyze this. Let me focus on it more. I appreciate your time, and I do, but I think I need to contemplate. I got to put this all in perspective. But can I get back to you? And that's a dangerous position to be in, because you don't know if you got tomorrow anyway. But then your brain is going to mix your thoughts with faith, and you got a problem, because somewhere along the line, you're going to rationalize that, well, I'm good. Thanks. You can have your Jesus, John. I'm good. So that's verse, that's the second verse, the one who balks. What are you going to do with this? Number three. We are next introduced to, in chapter 4, make sure I've got this right, we are next introduced to yes, hallelujah. We are next introduced to the Samaritan woman in chapter 4. I'm trying to get my standing and my beginning point here, and I believe it's going to be, let's go back up. Let's go to Jesus meeting the woman, and let's go to verse 8 in chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 8. You know the story, correct? Jesus, actually 7, there came a woman of Samaritan to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God. And Jesus revealed himself to this woman, a Samaritan, in verse 26, well, go to 25. The woman said unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." There is no question that Jesus revealed himself in his full identity to the Samaritan woman, and the Samaritan woman knew it, because he said, "Go tell your husband and we're going to talk." And, "Well, I don't have a husband." And she said, "Yeah." And Jesus said, "Yeah, you've had five, and the man that you're living with is not your husband." We know this story. Hopefully you know the story. But the impact is that when she had an encounter with Christ Jesus, she knew that he was the Christ. And what did she do with it? Fast forward. She ran, and she went back to the city. Make sure I get this right. And told everybody in the city that you need to meet this guy. I think he's a prophet, but man, he knows. He told everything I knew. You got to go see this guy. Please go to verse 39 in chapter 4. And many Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans, the city came over, were come unto him, they besought that he would tarry with them, and he abode for 2 days. I'm thinking that would be the greatest weekend of my life, to have Christ Jesus hang out in my house for 2 days and just teach me all that I don't know. I don't leave, just stay. I got a room for you right here. man, just don't go. They were so enamored by his presence. And then what happened? What happened? And many, so when the Samaritans were coming to them, verse 40, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Some of us need a little bit more time with God. Some of us aren't John. Just seeing Christ is enough for me. Hallelujah. And you're slain in the spirit, just go to say. Some of us are not Nicodemus, and well, you know, I'm thinking, I guess I'm, and then God says, okay, I'm going to hang out with you. I'm going to reveal everything you need to know so that you can make a decision, because you are condemned but for my life that I am going to shed for you. And in this case, that I have shed for you, correct? Because he's still alive, what we're reading. And so for 2 days, the Samaritans were in Jesus at just hanging out with our Savior, and they responded with a confession because they knew. Not because of the lady at the well. What? Now we believe, not because of what you said, but because they had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Happy day? Thank you, Father, that he cares enough about you to encounter you where you are and to reveal himself. This is not hide and seek. This is not a game. This is the Savior of the world revealing himself to you in the fullness, and you are required to make a decision. And some of us think that we can make it tomorrow, like Nicodemus. Others of us are like John. Many of us are like the city folk of Samaria, but let's go further down and meet our fourth person. And that would be in verse, let's go to 46. I like the way John introduces this. We're in chapter 4, verse 46. I like the way, you know, if you just read the gospel and read it as a story, sometimes it's just fun, right? Don't you like it when you read a story and it just grabs you and you just want to stay with it? So listen to how he introduces the next fellow. So Jesus came to Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. Remember that miracle? Just kind of like reminding you. I'm just letting you know, this is the same place, the same God, right? Happy day? Don't you like transitions? In legal writing, we have to transition from a one argument to the next, and then we have to defeat the other person's argument and distinguish cases, etc. And so we use transitions, and such as, even if the plaintiff were right, which he is not, right? We will now discuss his defenses, which are meritless. You see what I'm saying? I like doing that. So, don't you like this transition from the Samaritans? And I just think about this one little sentence, because the Holy Spirit doesn't need to put this in the Bible. We already know, but it's just a nice little transition, just reminding you. So Jesus came to Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water into wine. I'm just letting you know that if you could make water into wine, yeah, I think maybe you might be Jesus. Okay, I'm just letting you know. Or maybe he came over to wherever he went to, where he landed after he walked on the water. You know, it's the same place where he walked on the water. I'm just letting you know. Don't you like those transitions where God reminds you of his authority over the littlest things? Happy day? Happy day? I'm struggling here. You guys aren't helping me out, but we'll move on. And so Jesus came again unto Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water into wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea to unto Galilee. He went unto him and said, if he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. I don't know if this guy was saved, but he recognized that Jesus had something that he needed. Amen? Okay, happy day. And then Jesus said, you know, except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. And the nobleman said unto him, sir, if you just come down, my child won't die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And when he was now coming down, his servants met him and said unto him, your son's alive, your son liveth. And then he inquired of him the hour when he began to amend, and he said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Said the man. What a coincidence. As my father-in-law used to say, what a coincidence. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, my son liveth, or your son liveth. And himself believed and his whole house. Some of us are not John. Some of us may even need more than 2 days with Jesus. Some of us may need a miracle. Some of us actually need to see the mighty hand of God work in your life such that you will believe. And then you'll be so enamored, you'll be a magnet, and your whole family, your whole house. There's a fellow that I know, and his name is a cement guy. He can't pour a pad that's level. He can't build a wall that's plumb, but he thinks that he's a cement guy. And he was working at my house, and we were having Bible study, and I invited him over, and he was struggling, and he said, you know, I believe, but I need, you know, if God is really, I need money. I need jobs. I need work. And I said, really? So what's keeping you from a relationship with Christ Jesus is that you feel that God is holding back, not giving you what you need, and you need money. He goes, yeah, I need money. And I said, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to pray that God blesses you with so much work and so much money that you will be so overwhelmed, you will be so prosperous, that you will have no ability to question God's authority. That it's not going to be just enough. It's going to be so much more than you ever need that you will have to face the question, is Jesus God? Really, you'll do that for me? I said, yeah, really. I said, you bet I'm going to do it. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be so rich that you're not going to be able to know what to do with it, and then you're going to have to face the music. Oh, I could do that, man. I'm good with that. Happy day. And honest to goodness, in about 3 weeks, he was so overwhelmed. I mean, many of you would want me to pray this over you. I get it. But it's just, well, that was an anointing that particular day. He was so incredibly wealthy. He had like 5 jobs. Remember, this guy can't pour a level slab if life was on it. He poured my barn, Jessica's barn, and it goes like this, like this. And so when the garage door goes down, it's like there's a gap. And I said, you know what, I'm not even going to fix it, because now when I wash out the horse manure and everything else, it'll just flow right out. There's just, it's when he poured, you know, when you put the bricks on it, you know, you're just supposed to lay the bricks a happy day. Well, the first brick he had a chop, you know, so it goes like this. So he had there's like a sliver brick and then another. The guy can't pour anything. My driveway he poured is just full of cracks. It's just, the guy can't do jack. But he was so incredibly wealthy in a period of about 3 weeks. I remember taking it, and I don't know if it was all ones, but it was a wad of cash. And he was saying, man, you know, ever since you prayed for me, these jobs have been coming in, and I'm just telling you, I got to get some new workers. I get some new trucks. I'm thinking, happy day. So who do you think gave you that money? Well, I mean, I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I prayed for you that you would have an encounter with Christ Jesus, and you said money was stopping you, and so now, therefore, you got the money. What are you going to do with this now? What are you going to do with this now that he's answered your issue? Whatever issue it was, he answered it, he solved it, and now he just stands there. He goes, okay, what are you going to do with this? And I'm here to tell you, I think he made a confession, but guess what he did? I don't know if he really made a confession, because you know what he's doing now? Nothing. Because he stopped fellowshipping. I don't even believe that he really, really thought that Christ Jesus could answer all his future problems, you know what I'm saying, after the honeymoon. But you know what? It amazes me that people have a miracle happen to them, and they're still... Amen. Is that Spanish? A limbo. Ale limbo. Yes, they were ale limbo. Right? My point to you is we've got four people here. We've got John, who gave his life just by seeing the Christ. We got Nicodemus, who kind of balked. Later on, we kind of learned he probably did, right? But he balked a little bit. Then we have the Samaritan woman who said, oh, my goodness, wow. And she was so incredibly overtaken by Christ Jesus, she went to the folks in the city, and the whole city got saved. And then we have Mr. Nobleman who says, listen, man, I just need you to give me a miracle. I need a miracle. I need some physical proof that you're the God of Israel and the Lord God Almighty. And the Lord did that. And then you have the fifth person. And the fifth person is the one that we never like to talk about. And that would be in chapter 5. You're kind of familiar with the pool by the temple and the fellow who was by the temple for years and was lame, and every time the water would just rumble, that the first person into the pool would get healed. And he was very discouraged because every time he kind of went there, someone else would beat him and get healed. And so along entered Jesus, comes along, and Jesus said, let's just go to verse 6 in chapter 5. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? Yo, man, you want to get healed? And the impotent man answers, man, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. This is like, it's an impossible task. I've been here for years, and I'm just hoping maybe one day, no, I'll even get here early. You know what I'm saying? No one's here. I'm here before the sun rises. I'm waiting for it, and it doesn't happen. And then before you know it, everybody's here, and then the water troubles, and I can't get healed. What Jesus said unto him. Verse 8, rise, take up your bed, and walk. I mean, that's really cool to me. I really like that because Jesus meets your needs where you're at. He meets that need. Isn't that a great thing? Just, hey, you want to walk? Walk. Get up and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Ooh. The Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day, man. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. I think that is the craziest thing in the world. Yo, I know that you've been lame and, you know, paralyzed, the quadriplegic or a doubleplegic, whatever you call them, or a singleplegic, or whatever you're a plegic of. And I know that you're the guy, and you've been there forever. In fact, I knew you were trying to get down, and I put my son there in front of you because my son is just as important as you is. And so what happens? They ignore the healing and the miracle and said, yo, it's Sun Saturday. Now you say it's Friday night. I thought, let's go Saturday. It's Saturday. It's the Sabbath. You can't carry your bed. Whoa, wait, stop. Why are you carrying your bed? Put the bed down. Step away from the bed. Right? Put the bed down. Step away from the bed. Back off. Let's talk about this. Who did this to you? Who told you that you could work on the Sabbath? That is verse 12. That's my paraphrase of verse 12, those of you who are King James.
Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? There is the official version. Got it? Yo, who said that you can walk with a bed in your hands? This is Sabbath. We got a mucho problemo here. And we're going to talk because something's not right, and I need to know who told you that you could violate the law that we have so cherished for millennials. No, I didn't say millennials, did I? That's the other thing. Millenniums. Those of you who are millennials, I have something to say about you. And he that was healed, verse 13, didn't know who it was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. He's just like, hey, I'm glad to see you're here. You came to the temple, which is pretty cool. Just, you know, be aware of your healing. Someone's calling me. Should I answer it? Or I'm in church, right? So I should say, look, I could do this. Can't talk right now. This is a phone. What is this? You guys are good, man. If I've taught you anything today, it's that this is a phone and this is a written word of God. Hallelujah. Okay. Happy day. It's true, man. This is a good word. I love the word. Okay, we're back out. We're in verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, the place that he should be, which is, thank you, Jesus, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, and lest something worse come upon you. Then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him whole. And what did the Jews say? What did the Jews conspire in their heart? I bet you were wondering. Were you wondering? The girl next to this guy, were you wondering? Want me to tell you the answer? You ready? Freddy? And therefore, verse 16, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done those things on the Sabbath day. A total rejection of Jesus Christ. So much that they wanted to kill him, slay him, stop him, anything that the message would not go forth. We got five people. We got John, just seeing him, changed his life forever. We got Nicodemus, pretty smart guy, had to analyze some things, working through it, God bless America. Later on, I think you would say, most of us would say that he was saved and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We got the Samaritan lady, in sin, living in sin. Jesus read her, you know, read her life, confessed him as Lord and Savior, was so free of all that stuff and junk, ran to the city. Everybody came out. They had 2 days with Jesus Christ, and the whole city had a revival. This is the Lord God Almighty. That's a good day. You got the nobleman. Listen, I just did a miracle. If just give me a miracle, I don't really need much from you, but I understand you're a miracle man, and I need some help. My son's sick, and if you can heal him, I'd be a happy day. I'm good. And when that miracle came, and he put two and two together, he's got to be the Lord God Almighty, and his whole house got saved. And then you got the fellow. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't fit in his little equation. You're messing with his life. I'm good as I am. Don't be putting that stuff on me. Get out of my face. I don't want to hear it anymore. And a total rejection of Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you today that when I got saved, I mean, when I got baptized, I think they double dipped me. I mean, I just was so ready to have Jesus give me everything he's got. And I am not in any way boasting on myself. I'm boasting on the Lord God that he could take a filthy man like me and changed my life in a way that I it is unexplainable, and I am so blessed to be part of that. Was I John? Probably not. Could have been the Samaritan lady. Probably wasn't. I wasn't really the nobleman because I didn't even know about miracles. You know what I'm saying? I was just in a dark place. A troubled young guy. So I was probably the city folk in Samaria. And Jesus came and talked with me, met with me, spoke with me, hung out with me. You got to know that he took his time out to meet those folk. 2 days. Hung out. And I don't know where this message goes, except that I know that Jesus Christ can meet you wherever you are and do whatever you need, and he will reveal himself to you, and you will not have any question, but you will have to answer this question: what do I do with this? And the nice thing about Jesus is he just didn't give you eternal life. See, then it just begins. Now we're like, wow, my spirit man is alive. And so now what did he say? I got to go so that I can usher in the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to give you power and authority. See, he didn't leave you with just salvation. He left you with salvation plus. I just ordered a Corvette. I'm really excited about this Corvette. I'm only saying it because the Corvettes that they had on the store didn't have everything I wanted. And so I decided that I would build my own Corvette and I would get everything I wanted. Because that's what I wanted. Now, that's kind of foolish because it's probably a waste of money on a depreciation asset. I understand that. But I'm using that as an analogy. So that's why I buy a Corvette, so I can use it now whenever I speak. And therefore, we can write it off as a bit. We can write it off. You know what I'm saying? Boom! But the point is that God gives you more than enough. And when he meets you and you have that encounter, that you are not left stranded with, okay, all right, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and then you go back into the world and you're faced with a job, you're faced with family, you're faced with situations and circumstances that are life, and issues come up, struggles abound, and that is what we call the flesh. But God gave us the Holy Spirit then to say, I'm empowering you to overcome. I am empowering you to tread upon serpents and scorpions. I am empowering you to lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. I am giving you the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians, where I'm going to give you tongues, I'll give you prophets, I'm going to give you interpretation, I'm going to give you healings. I'm going to give you gifts of administration, gifts of help. I'm going to give you the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. Wait, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, not pastors, but it was something else. But yeah, whatever, it's pastors. God bless America. My point to you is that the Holy Spirit has empowered you so richly and has empowered, let's just say, this congregation so richly that there's nothing lacking. Happy day. There is nothing lacking in Christ Jesus in and of himself. And when he gave you himself and gave you the Holy Spirit, you have no excuses now. So the question remains, what are you going to do with this? Because you're going to leave through these doors in a few minutes. And my question is, what are you going to do with it? You're going to go out there and I'm going to drive 10 hours and drink Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, and a Starbucks. And that's enough caffeine to get me home. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to drive home. What are you going to do with it? I challenge you today that, because I know this city, because I've known this city for a while. I've been here for three times, so I know this city. And I know that this church is called Chosen and Faithful. I just know it. I have complete confidence in that. Amen? And so here you is. A bunch of misfits gathered together. This is it. So what are you going to do with this? Amen. Amen. You are the authority of God himself. You are an ambassador of Christ Jesus. There's no one better. There's no one better situated. There's no one more capable. And there's just no thing that can stop your gospel. Coupled together with a massive group of people like this, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this campus? What are you going to do with the acreage that you just bought? What are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with Christ Jesus who gave his only begotten, just done? What are you going to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life today? I'm driving home. Dear brothers and sisters, are going to walk out that door, travel 20, 30 miles max away, I don't know. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I challenge you that you would use this day to seek a divine appointment from God Almighty, and that you would be a magnet for him, that you'd reveal his truth, you'd reveal something, you'd give somebody a hug, you'd give somebody a word of encouragement, you'd touch them, you'd encounter them, you'd allow them to know that they are forgiven, you would allow them to know that there is something greater in their lives than what they are doing, and that you would walk away today, lay your head on your bed and know that you have done something for Christ. Amen? Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this place. I am so thankful that you have given us a place to worship. Lord God Almighty, that we could freely come together in a place like this, that is a place of excellence. And you would allow us to experience you and that you have changed us. Lord, if there is someone in here that needs a miracle, just like the nobleman, I'm confident that you'll do that. If there's someone in here that needs a change of pace, a movement, the water's got to move. It needs a helping hand. Lord God, that you would encounter them. If there's someone that just needs to see you, just needs to just be in your presence, Lord, you'd show up. If there's someone that needs time, they need you. They need you to fill their room. That you'd be there. And you'd spend time with them. And you'd comfort their ailing spirit. And for those of us that encounter the stubborn, the stiff-necked, Father, that you would empower us to give them a word that would challenge them. Lord, that would challenge their belief system. That would challenge who they are. That would pierce their stone-cold heart with the truth of your gospel. And that someone would fertilize and water and then ultimately pluck the fruit that you have for them. I ask, Lord God, in your holy righteous name, that you would lift up the arms of your leadership here today, that you would strengthen them. You would never have them doubt. You'd never have them be cautious. You'd never have them be discouraged. But Lord God, that they would see your handiwork in everything that you are doing. Lord God Almighty, that you would bless the elders of this church, that they would hold the hands of their pastor, and that they would have victory in knowing that they are serving in a mighty way. Lord, I lift up the deacons to you, Lord God Almighty, those that volunteer their time and their resources and their efforts to take care of this campus and the facilities here, to fix things, to maintain things in private, without people seeing. Lord God, that you would bless them, that you would take the time and you would multiply it for them, Lord God, that you would redeem their time sevenfold, Lord God Almighty. Lord, the teachers that are taking care of the children downstairs, Lord, that you would honor them as they prepare every week to impart something cool on these kids. Lord, that you would restore those children's hearts right back to you, that they would have a confession of faith, and these teachers would just be encouraged to know that they're molding young, vibrant spirits. Heavenly Father, those of us that have come to visit, I ask that, Lord God, that you would let them see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached in this place week in and week out. And Father, that if they don't have a church home, Lord, that they would find a place here. Lord, I thank you for those that have tithed and given offerings. Lord, that you would multiply their seed. That as they have given, Lord God, that they would see the fruit of what they're giving, and that with the remaining 90%, Lord God, that you would make them so wealthy and so prosperous, Lord God, that they would be a conduit for resources back to the kingdom. Lord, that you would restore their health, that you would restore their relationships, and at the end of the day, Almighty God, that they would know that they have encountered you. And if there's someone in this church building today, in this room today, that needs to know that you are really the Son of God, that you would reveal yourself to them without smoke and mirrors, without question, that they would know that they have encountered you. And Lord, that they would be changed. They would be mighty. They might be willing to give themselves for mission work. They might be willing to give themselves and to start assisting or start doing something they've not done before. But they would not just take your gospel and put it in their pocket and go away. In your mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood that was shed on the cross for us this morning, we thank you, God Almighty, that you have given us your daily bread, that we know that you have provided for us in ways that we cannot imagine, that you have gone before us, you've protected us, and there's nothing that we are lacking in your presence. And Father God, we know that you don't lead us to places that are dangerous, but you have led us out of those places. You have called us forth to be mighty men and women of the gospel. And for that, we give you glory and honor and praise. And with that, Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I thank you for the fresh word you gave me this morning by the creek. And Lord, if this means anything to anybody, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor because it is your written word. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
For Your Health will be lunch served for the people in For Your Health right now.